everyone. We're going to continue in the book of Ruth this evening, the book of Ruth. And this is likely our last visit to the book of Ruth. Don't know if you're happy or sad about that. But nonetheless, I trust it's been a blessing and that tonight will also be a blessing. Let's turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 3. We're going to read the first 15 verses of chapter 3. We're looking this evening at valor and virtue. Valor and virtue. Ruth chapter 3, from verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, that's Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her. And she went into the city. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord, for the truth of it, that it is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, speak to us in a way that only you can tonight. Bless us, help us, Lord, enlighten us and work in powerful ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've visited the book of Ruth 8 times. We've considered that God provided for Ruth throughout her life in each of these 4 beautiful chapters. This wonderful story of redemption and romance and provision, love, friendship. Now, we've considered the will of God. We looked at Elimelech and Ruth, Naomi, Mahlon and Chilion, and Orpah, and how they responded each in different ways to the will of God. We've looked at Boaz and compared him to the picture of the all-sufficient Christ. We've seen that wonderful similarity. We've stood on the threshold of decision, leaving Moab, coming into the promised land with Ruth. We've considered the godly character of Boaz, contrasted with Samson. Strong contrast there between Boaz and Samson. We've looked at the Lord's reward for godliness. And last time we had a look at godliness in the workplace. But this evening, as we close this series, we are looking really at the core of who Ruth and Boaz are and the core of the character behind the story. Valor and virtue. People, godly people being valiant and virtuous. We considered last time that Ruth and Boaz are godly examples for us to follow. Chapter 2 records how they meet. We looked at this last time in the field, and Ruth ends up working in Boaz's field for 2 months, from mid-April to mid-June. And we have early in Israel's history a record of godly lives, 2 godly lives, a man and a woman, as model children of God for us to follow, and for the children of Israel to follow as well. For many centuries of the Jewish nation following this account, God's chosen people can reflect on Boaz and Ruth and emulate their godly character and choices. We consider the Apostle Paul in a similar way last time. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul followed the Lord and the Lord's example. Therefore, Paul is a good example to follow in our own lives. He will lead us to the Lord. as the ultimate example. The same is true with Boaz and Ruth. They followed Jehovah God in their personal lives. And their character, their choices, reflected their commitment to the Lord. And we see this in their valor and virtue. Well, we covered a bit of the story tonight with Naomi seeking the long-term well-being of Ruth. She loves her and wants to see her do well. Boaz is a good prospect for many reasons. He's godly, he's well off and can provide for her. Plus, he's related to the family. So there's a whole heap of Levitical things coming into consideration here, which we looked at a few messages ago. Now, the suggestion of Naomi that we read about, of this reverse proposal in the dead of night, to us is curious at best and seriously problematic at worst. But apparently, at that time, in the Near East, it was quite customary and acceptable and understood as a normal thing to do. We can even see this aspect described in a similar vein in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8, where God is the one spreading his skirts over Israel. He's reminding Israel that he was the one to redeem them from destruction. The verse reads, "This is the Lord speaking to Israel. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." Boaz seems to really like the idea. He seems to agree with the proposal, but he nobly defers to the nearer kinsman, and we've looked in detail at the law of the kinsman redeemer. And the Hebrew word, goel, being kinsman redeemer, there's no difference between kinsman and redeemer in the Hebrew. He nobly defers to the kinsman, and the law works through, and we have a wonderful, happy ending. Boaz gets to marry Ruth. They receive a great blessing with Obed, their son, who ends up being the grandfather of the great King David, and forebear of the Messiah himself. It's a wonderful story, very encouraging and true, God honoring his people. But as we close this series on the story of Ruth, our focus is on the godly character of Ruth and Boaz. And our focus is on two verses in particular. One of them we read this evening, which is verse 11 of chapter 3, where Boaz says, "All the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Ruth's testimony is that she is a virtuous woman. Consider chapter 2, verse 1. This verse is about Boaz. "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth." This is Boaz. Now the words wealth for Boaz and virtuous for Ruth are the same Hebrew word. The same Hebrew word. And it means strength. It means force and power. And this is where we're going to be focusing on, the strength of God in the life of his people. This evening we're going to consider three aspects. First, discovering strength in the Word of God. We'll unpack it and have a look what the Word of God has to say about it. Secondly, displays of strength, obviously in Ruth and Boaz. And thirdly, developing strength in us, developing God's strength. Now, the Hebrew word that is both wealth and virtuous is kayil, C-H-A-Y-I-L. That's the transliteration, of course, kayil. And it is strength or force. And the most common use of the word is in a military context. It's been translated many times as army, or the host of an army, a company, a band of men, and most famously, a man of valor, or valiant man, or doing valiantly. The first use of the phrase, mighty man of valor, is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 14. "But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them." Here we have described the noble, godly, courageous act of fighting in battle for the sake of Israel's countrymen, the other Israelites, and in obedience to God. It's a strength in warfare. But it's not just a strength in battle. This word, kayil, includes other strengths as well, other forces, other power, as has also been translated wealth, as we saw, virtue or virtuous, able, goods, activity, like men of activity, riches, strength, substance, and worthy. There's a whole gamut of meaning in this word. Many aspects of the power of God in his people. But if we were to summarize kayil, this strength, in two parts, here's one way to look at it. Here's two aspects, valor and virtue. Valor is strength in your calling, and virtue is strength in your walk. We have God enduing his people with strength in their calling, with valor. This is mightily doing whatever God has called you to do with the power of God. This speaks to the strength of the army, the host, the band of men, the wealth of an able man, the goods and substance of a man of activity. Perhaps it's a soldier fighting for the name of the God of Israel, valiantly. Perhaps it's a businessman with the strength of God diligently using the promised land, in the context of Israel, for the blessing of God's people, just like Boaz. Perhaps it's the housewife or homemaker, mightily equipping their household for the varied challenges of life, valiantly. It's like a great, powerful battery. You know, it powers machinery, and the machinery is the one that decides what work is undertaken, and it differs between the machines, but the power comes from the battery. And so we have different callings on our lives, different aspects where we focus our strength, but we find our strength in the battery of God's power. Virtue is the other aspect, strength in our walk. Valor, strength in our calling, and virtue, strength in our walk. This speaks to the worthiness of a strong man, the ability and the virtue of a strong woman, moral fortitude. Moral fortitude. This is practical godliness, doing the right thing when it counts, all the time. Being holy in your thoughts, words, deeds, plans, habits, reactions, and lifestyle. Brethren, this aspect of Kail, this strength, is how God himself operates. Psalm 118, verse 16 says that the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The same word. That's how God operates. In his strength, with his right hand, he operates in valor and virtue with his Kail strength. Perhaps even in the spelling, the Hebrew spelling of Kail, there's a lesson. There's three letters used in the spelling. The first is Chet, and it's like an upside down U. It looks like a doorway or a fence, two posts and a lintel. And so a valiant man or woman provides protection or security, just like a doorway or a fence provides protection and security. The second letter is Yud, and it looks like a sideways apostrophe. It looks like a forearm of a man. This speaks of the mighty strength, powerful deeds and acts that a godly person can undertake with the power of God. The third letter is Lamed, and looks like a shepherd's staff. This speaks of the strength God gives to valiant men and women to demonstrate authority and control. Now, perhaps we're reading too much into the letters, but even in the scriptures, we see those elements in these godly people. The protection, the security, the powerful acts, the mighty deeds, and the authority and control. This godliness, this strength, this Kail, it springs organically, brethren, from a walk with the Lord. When we have a living relationship with the Lord, it comes out. Consider someone having earned respect and influence in the community because of heroic deeds, perhaps in war, or perhaps being an upstanding citizen of high moral caliber and reputation, perhaps being a diligent, successful worker or businessman, or perhaps a combination of these. Take, for example, a Jew in Israel who fears God, seeks to honor the Lord in every element of their life. This is diligently practiced over many years, where he naturally rises to a place of respect and influence, Kail, because of his outstanding reputation. Brethren, this strength comes from God alone. Psalm 18, verse 32 says, "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." That word strength there is the same word, valor and virtue. It is God that girds me and surrounds me and strengthens me with his own strength. It is therefore a spiritual strength, not a carnal strength. It does not have its source in selfishness or pride or arrogance. This spiritual strength, brethren, gives us both spiritual power and physical power as a result. It makes our whole way perfect, as the verse says. Our whole lifestyle, every aspect, is complete when we have the blessing of God's power. We receive spiritual power because we receive the power to resist temptation. We receive the power to endure affliction, to trust God when circumstances entice us to doubt him. But it also gives us physical power, like diligence to work hard at our job, which brings obvious rewards. It gives us the resilience to train hard and fight hard in battle for a soldier. It gives us the ability to perceive needs and prepare to meet them. Through God, we shall do valiantly, Psalm 108, verse 13 says. What a wonderful encouragement. But brethren, the strength is from God, and it is for God. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth," or Kail, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God is the one who gives us the ability to have this strength. God is the one who enables us to have wealth, valor, virtue, strength in our life for the purpose of him fulfilling his plans. God's plans are the most important things. God's purposes are things like maturing and purifying his people, seeking and saving lost sinners, and glorifying his wonderful name. God's power is not for selfish purposes. Now, we've mentioned a number of times wealth and riches. Now, Boaz may have been wealthy, but brethren, the book here, Ruth, is not preaching a gospel of prosperity. The New Testament is a different ball game in many areas, and this is one of them. You ask the apostles about prosperity gospel and how it went for them, making lots of money off the gospel. I think you'd be very surprised. They were very rich in the Lord, and that was enough, more than enough. But brethren, it's not for selfish purposes of self-elevation either. It's for the Lord to be honored. Consider, brethren, that the word kail has been used in the scriptures to describe both strength for good, and at other times has been used to describe strength for bad. Wickedness and wicked people. We read in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 22, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, trying to be strong in wickedness." But then we have young David, the shepherd, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 18. "Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Ought we not to be like that? Mighty and valiant in the Lord and him being with us? But brethren, what do we have the strength to do? What are we good at doing? What do we have capacity for? What is our ability found in? In sin, in selfishness, in laziness, in pleasure? Brethren, are we strong in sin or service? Brethren, are we strong in worship or watching movies? Brethren, are we strong in Netflix or kneeling in prayer? Questions for us to answer before the Lord. Well, we've seen the word strength, kail, through the scriptures, but let's consider it lived out in Ruth and Boaz, these displays of strength. They both displayed kail, and both aspects of valor and virtue, strength in their calling and their walk. We have Boaz, a mighty man of wealth there with the valor. His strength was in his business in Israel. He was no soldier, no mighty man of valor in that sense, commanding a host. His calling was in farming, managing a thriving business. And we have many and varied callings. We ought to do it with the strength of God. In that calling, Boaz was valiant and strong. He did his business with his might and used it for blessing and the glory of God. Remember last time we looked at godliness in the workplace, with Boaz being the godly employer who was devoted. He devoted himself, his business, and its profits to God. He was diligent in keeping structure in the business and in focusing on his responsibilities. And Boaz was decent and loving in his people focus, generosity, and selflessness. Brethren, in our various callings, whatever it may be, could our behavior be described in this way? Boaz was valiant and virtuous. We see his strength in his honorable actions, most clearly in his honor in this nighttime encounter with Ruth. Boaz could have abused the situation and sinned with Ruth, but he didn't, because he had God's strength to be true to the Lord and to do the right thing even when no one was watching. Contrast this with the strongest man in history, Samson, who was so strong and yet so morally weak, ill-disciplined, and unself-controlled that he was frequently ensnared by his own lust. Consider Proverbs 16, verse 32, with these two men in mind. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Samson, mighty strength, he could take a city, but Boaz is better than Samson, because Boaz is slow to anger and rules his spirit. Self-control under the control of God. Boaz was virtuous in his honorable actions. He was virtuous in his strength in the word of God. And we've considered a number of times how he operated his business according to the word of God and the heart of God. And he operated his marriage, even in the preparation for marriage, according to God's law, while so many have forsaken that way. Remember, this is the time of Judges, when children of Israel were going from God's way to their own way, and it was a shemozzle spiritually. They were all over the place. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes, but Boaz did that which is right in God's eyes. Do we do that as well? Boaz was strong in public goodness and godliness. He was valiant for the truth. He obeyed God's word, not only when nobody was watching with Ruth, but even when everybody was watching and powerful people were watching. The elders of the city were there, perhaps men who opposed Boaz's fidelity to God. But no matter what, no matter who was watching, nobody or everybody, Boaz was valiant for the truth. As Jeremiah 9, verse 3 encourages us to be valiant for the truth upon the earth. Boaz has a psalm, not that he's written, but I've read, and it struck me as so much about his character. Psalm 112 is like a beautiful illustration of Boaz's life. Just like the virtuous woman chapter of Proverbs 31 is to Ruth, so I suggest Psalm 112 is to Boaz. It reads like this. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favour and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honour. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Is that not the life of Boaz? Here we don't have the word chayil for valour, but in chapter 2, verse 1 of Ruth, when it says that Boaz was a mighty man, we have that word mighty in verse 2, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. Pictured here in this psalm is a man just like Boaz, and I pray just like me and like all of us, who is mighty in God's eyes, with the foundation of their life as the fear of God and respect for God's word. Upon that is built the strength in his family, his business, his reputation, his kindness, his discretion, his steadfastness, his faith in God, his care for others, with the final crowning glory being the honour given by God. This is the life we ought to live. Boaz's name even means, in him is strength. In him is strength. In the Lord is strength. But may it be the Lord's strength in us. Ruth also, she displayed this chayil strength. She was valiant. Now, she was valiant, but we read the verse most clearly in chapter 3, verse 11, that thou art a virtuous woman, the second aspect. But she's also valiant, because her calling was to work in the field, to provide for Naomi, to try to settle into Bethlehem as a stranger. And the Lord enabled her to do all of that. Remember our last message with Ruth being the godly employee. Ruth was lowly, humble, grateful, and submissive. She labored, welcoming hard work, showing stamina in her calling. Ruth was loving, volunteering in her calling, and not being selfish in the profits. Ruth's strength of character in her calling to serve Naomi was a clear public testimony and is the evidence of God's chayil strength in her. Could our reputation be the same if people were to describe us? Well, she's valiant, but clearly, yes, she's virtuous. She has this reputation. She's strong in her walk. She's strong in faith, faith in God's reputation and his character. Consider even just one aspect, her faith to come to Israel in the first place. Faith in God's love for her. And we consider this a number of messages ago, where she was standing considering the unknown before her, and yet the reputation of God to carry her into the unknown. Ruth 2, verses 11 and 12 summarize both the riskiness of her situation and her choice to entrust herself to God, whose reputation of power and love preceded him. This is the words of Boaz. Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Picture the wing of a mother hen. Love and protection is there. Care and power is there. Ruth, she went out on a limb to come under God's wing. We ought to do the same. Well, we mentioned Proverbs 31, the classic virtuous woman passage. verses 10 to 31 of Proverbs chapter 31. And it's the same word both in the English and the Hebrew, virtuous. We read in Proverbs 31 verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? And then in verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Now the start of the chapter reads, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And one commentator suggested that perhaps the mother of King Lemuel had Ruth in mind when teaching him about the virtuous woman, which may explain the great similarity between Ruth and the Proverbs 31 virtuous woman. They were both devoted to her family, delighted in her work, diligent in her labor, dedicated to godly speech, dependent upon God, dressed with care, discreet with men, delivered blessings. Brethren, in God's eyes, this is a life of valor and virtue, a life of great strength. This is Chayil being lived out in a godly life. There were no swords, but lots of the sword of the Spirit. There was no heroism, but lots of heroic love. There was no great host, but being a great host to saints and strangers alike. There was no need to win battles, but winning many battles on your knees. Brethren, this is strength in one's life. We've seen the strength of God in the Word of God. We've seen it in Ruth and Boaz. And brethren, may we see it in us. May we see it in us. Strength must increase. The strength must increase. It is gradual, incremental, and progressive, bit by bit. Certain people increase in Kael. They grow ever stronger. How is it that that happens? What can we find in the Scriptures that gives us this answer? Please turn with me to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. We read these wonderful 12 verses, and note in verse 7, they go from strength to strength, is the same word, Kail. Psalm 84. As we read, think of what is this common theme in this psalm. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. What a beautiful psalm. These people here, we read in verse 7, go from strength to strength. They increase in valor and virtue. But how? How can we have this for ourselves? The common theme in this psalm, over and over again, is the proximity to God himself. Are we close to the Lord? Look at the attractiveness of the tabernacles of God. Consider the yearning for the courts of God, how it affects even our body. Consider the home that even the birds find in the altars of God. Consider the blessing on those who dwell in God's house and those who appear before God in Zion. Consider the superiority of one day in God's court compared with 1,000 days in wickedness. Now, brethren, no one actually lived in the tabernacle or the temple. The location described is not physical, but a spiritual location. The coordinates are not given in latitude and longitude, but humblitude and holiitude. The path there is not paved in bitumen and concrete, but in prayer and Bible study. Verse 4 and 7 spell it out. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They go from strength to strength. Brethren, Kail is increasingly bestowed on only those who maintain a lifestyle of abiding, dwelling, nesting, remaining in God's house, close to him, feeding on the bread of life and the water of life, communing with our heavenly host, God himself, rising above and moving past all our earthly activities to a higher plane of thinking, a deeper strength of character, and a more beautiful, loving, addictive connection with God himself. This is where we all ought to live. And brethren, This is why we have weakness in our lives. The birds find their dwelling place in the Lord, and yet we can't be bothered drawing much close to the Lord at all. We say, I read my chapter in the morning and pray for a blessing. I'll come on Sunday morning and maybe another service, and I'll keep my portion of the pew warm. You know, I'm really busy providing for my family, and that's God's will, so that's about it. And we leave it at that. And we leave it at that. And brethren, this is why our lives are weak. This is first to me, brethren. This is why our lives are weak. Our ministries are weak. Our prayer life is weak. Our churches are weak. Because we do not dwell in the house of God in our lives, day in, day out. This is why our life feels so ordinary, with nothing like the power of God about it. There is no power like Boaz to believe in the word of God amongst a community opposed to God. There's no power like Ruth to work hard with a heart of love and willingness. There's no power like Boaz to resist immorality in the dead of night along with Ruth. There's no power like Ruth to trust the will of God even when it made no sense. Brethren, is the Almighty Creator, God of the universe, so puny that he can't give great power to his people? Cannot the Lord of hosts strengthen his people, us, so that those who are naturally weak be made supernaturally strong in their own personal and public lives? Of course he can. You may be weak. Good. Now come to Christ. Lord, please strengthen me to do your will. Through God we shall do valiantly. Brethren, claim it. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Lord, help me believe it and live according to it. Brethren, claim the word of God. You know, sometimes the Lord calls us to a higher life, a different way of living, a spiritual life. This may scare us. Brethren, how will you respond? How will I respond to the Lord's call to live close to him, drawing on his eternal supply of power? We may respond thinking it's too scary. Brethren, this fear is based on a lie that the challenge is bigger than God himself. God is bigger than everything. Christ himself could not do many mighty works in his own country because of the unbelief of the people. Brethren, trust the word of God. We may respond with, amen, that was a good message. Lord, help me to be strong. Anyway, what's for dinner? What's on the telly? Think about my work now. And thus we continue, brethren, in starved mediocrity, semi-miserable, for who knows how much longer. Or, brethren, we may respond with, Lord, I need your help. I want this life of closeness to your heart. I want to dwell in your house all the days of my life. Not just for the next couple of days while I still feel a bit convicted before I revert to my old ways, but actually a new me, a new Hallard, a new me, a new you. Lord, renew my mind, renew my heart. Make me like Boaz and Ruth, who live their lives close to you, Lord, and possess your great power in their calling and in their walk. How will you respond? Father in heaven, we thank you for the challenge in your word. We thank you for the strength you give us to fulfill your will. Father, help us to not be fearful, but trusting, to believe your word, so that we may be godly people who possess valor and virtue. Speak to us in these closing moments. Help us, Lord, to deal with whatever we need to deal with before we get out of our seat. Thank you for your word, in Jesus' name.